everyday witches emerge from the shadows of secrecy. Broom closets are flinging open and witches are taking flight. Whether you are hiding in your cozy closet or flying with pride, stay for a spell as Witch Casting with Theodora Pendragon and her guests share magical moments, stir the cauldron, and debunk misinformation and misconceptions about paganism, witches, and our wonderful world of magic.
Here we are for another episode of Witch Casting with Theodora Pendragon. Today, my special guest is Abby Lutis, and she is an astrologer. Welcome, Abby.
Hi, Theodora. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We're going to talk about astrology today. Where would you like to start?
Oh, well, I mean, astrology is such a deep and complex subject, right? We can really start anywhere, but perhaps I should give you a little bit of background about myself. I started out when I left school, I started out as an elite athlete, and I did a lot of study in these years, and I sort of was trying to follow my path, so to speak, but I was having a lot of success in my athletic career, and so I followed that. But I got to a point, you know, I had some ups and downs, and I got to a point where I actually went through a major injury, and this kind of made me stop and consider, like, what am I actually doing with my life here? So I packed up my life in Australia. I bought a ticket to Buenos Aires, and I decided to go and travel around South America. This wasn't the first time that I had been traveling, but it was a really big adventure because it was the first time I'd really gone solo and just with not really any plans. So I did that. I went off and I started traveling, and I had such a great time that I didn't want to come back to Australia. So I ended up getting a visa for Canada, and I ended up thinking, I'll go to Canada for the winter and I'll have some fun snowboarding. I'll work there and then I'll go back to Australia. Well, that also didn't happen. I ended up staying there for 3 years living in Canada and just had the absolute time of my life. But at the end of that 3 years, I really felt called to come back to Australia. So I came back to Australia and not really sure why, maybe thinking there might be opportunities here. And I was quite lost. I ended up studying life coaching and I was working as a massage therapist and thought, you know, I really loved it in Canada when I was at the snow. So I decided to move to the snow in Australia. I continued massage therapy. I also started working as a tour guide and I took school kids overseas traveling. And then I went through another bit of a transformation, and I really was taking a deep dive into what I really wanted to do and who I wanted to be. And I came out the other end really fascinated in astrology. I looked back to the things that I was interested in as a child and realized that I still had all the astrology books on my bookshelf. And so I started learning and deep diving and actually studying astrology. And this was around 2019, right before we had this wild time in the world. And it was interesting to hear what all the astrologers were saying about that. So I was very curious. And as I was learning along and seeing the world events play out and aligning with this astrology, this really like deepened my interest and curiosity. So as a result of being quite heavily locked down here in Australia, I ended up taking a role as a tour guide and I moved out into the desert in 2021. I started tour guiding where I got to sleep out underneath the stars and see absolutely everything in the sky. It was incredible. And I put my astrology partly on hold. I've now found a balance where I work in my astrology business and also as a tour guide. So I am here doing astrology, reading people's charts, and actually teaching other people astrology. So it's been a really fun journey, and this is where I am now.
You must be a quick study if you started in 2019.
I mean, there is so, you know, you can take many different courses, but I was so intrigued. Whenever I was in the car, I would have the podcasts going. I would play them at, you know, double speed so I could listen faster. I devoured books. I took an intensive 6-month course where I had mentorship. And, you know, it was really interesting because I actually had a reading the other day and she said, you know, this connection that you have with the stars is real, Abby. I can see this light that just goes up from your head and connects into the sky. And I just thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because this comes so naturally to me. I really feel like anything to do with stars, astrology, even the sky gazing, when I'm out in the desert, I run star tours, and it all just makes sense to me. I think I've been here before.
Wow, your life is so fascinating. You did all the things that some people do at the end of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one thing, I know, I love to travel. Well, one thing that's really interesting, and I heard an astrologer say, I'm a Leo. So Leos are very warm-hearted. They are very fun-loving. They love to be the center of attention. They can be vain. They can be jealous. You know, there is light and shade with everything. But one thing I heard is that the reason people come into their life as a Leo is they've had a past life that's been extremely challenging. And this life is just all about having fun. And so I have really embodied that. I followed my intuition and it has always led me on a path that brings fun, adventure. And, you know, if I'm not experiencing that, I do anything possible to take the steps towards it.
Now that you've mentioned that you're a Leo and you told us a little bit about your characteristics, I'm sure the listeners may want to know about their signs. Can you go through the 12 just briefly and explain the basic traits?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to describe the zodiac sometimes as a progression of our life. So the first sign of the zodiac is Aries. This is a fire sign. So, and the symbol of Aries is the ram. So the Aries, it can also be likened to a newborn baby. It's here in the world. It wants to get out and go. It wants to start. It's pioneering. It is ready to take action, start projects, and initiate things. Can also be hot-headed, can also be easy to anger, and very much self-focused.
Oh, I'm laughing because I'm an Aries.
And how did it land? Is that accurate for you?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So Aries energy is great to work with, especially if we're tapping back into the self. So looking at Taurus, Taurus is the bull. It is a very grounded, it's an earth sign and it's a fixed sign. So very grounded. You know, the next step after the newborn baby is like we awaken to all the senses and the environment around us. So Taurians often love food. They love smell, touch. They want to have their comforts. They like to feel secure. They can be stubborn. They can be very fixed or get stuck if they're not careful. So this is the Taurus energy. Then we move on to Gemini. Gemini is faster, very different to Taurus. It is the archetype of the twins or also the lovers. So Gemini is air energy and it is a mutable quality. So it's kind of here, there, everywhere. If you know any Geminis, they love to talk. They love to socialize. Communication is a very big theme for Geminis. You know, there can be a lot of almost like too much chatter, which brings in anxiety. This can be sort of the shadow side of Gemini. But Geminis are interested in logic. They often have a lot of ideas and things that move fast. Next up is Cancer. So Cancer is the archetype of the crab and it's the first water sign. So the crab or Cancer the crab, if we think of a crab, it's got this hard outer shell, but it's very soft on the inside. And this is how I often see Cancers. They can have this defense mechanism on the outside, but when you crack that and you get inside, they can be you know, very vulnerable, very soft. Cancer is also the archetype of the mother. So they are very kind. They are very nurturing. They care a lot. And they're very connected to their emotions, very intuitive. The water element connects us to our emotions. And Cancer people are deeply connected and deeply intuitive in this way. Then we move on to Leo. Leo is kind of like the stubborn teenager, I suppose, if we're talking about this cycle of life. So Leos just want to be seen. They want to be on stage. They have this big, open, warm heart, and they are fun-loving and just, you know, a joy to be around. They're pretty self-obsessed as well. They can be vain. They can get jealous very easily. But they just love to be in the spotlight. Next up is Virgo. So Virgo is an earth sign, and it's the lightest of the earth signs. It's a mutable earth, so it's sort of changeable, but also with this grounding element. Virgo is the Virgin, and so the Virgin is wanting to be of service, wanting to serve the community in some way. The Virgin energy is like they harvest the crops so that their community can benefit from that. Virgos are very interested in their health and their wellness, and they have this beautiful, pure energy. Virgos also are, they want to fix things. If you know a Virgo and you have a problem, they will want to help you fix it. They can be perfectionists. They like lists. They like order. They like things to be clean. But what I have noticed about Virgos is they don't always embody that energy. I think they are definitely connected to wanting to help and serve others. So that's essentially like the first half of the zodiac. Let's move on to the second half. So we have Libra. So Libra is the archetype of the scales, and the scales represent balance and harmony. Librans are very relational. They want to have connection with other people. They want to have people in their lives and enjoy and make those people happy as well. If you know a Libra, they will want to know what you want to do before they know what they want to do. My brother is a Libra, and he doesn't want to make the decisions. This is perhaps maybe a more shadow side of Libra. They can be very indecisive, but the reason is they want to make sure that everyone else is happy and their relationships are in harmony. So they'll ask everybody else what they want to do before they make a decision. Next up is Scorpio. So Scorpio can often be, you know, known as like the most, I don't like to say it, but the most hated sign of the zodiac. But I actually think there's some incredible Scorpio qualities. And I have planets in Scorpio in my chart, so I understand this energy. Scorpio is a water sign and a fixed water sign. So if I can give you an analogy of, imagine standing at the very bottom of a waterfall and you're standing underneath that water that is constantly pouring on your head and it just does not stop. This is Scorpio. So this is this really intense feeling. Scorpios are not interested in surface level conversations. They want to, you know, go to the depths. They can also be very private. So they're not necessarily going to show you everything about them straight away. Scorpios can be controlling, and they can also sting. If we think of the scorpion, it has that stinger on its tail and it can come in and give us a bit of a sting. And I think this is why, you know, people sometimes might feel burned by a Scorpio, essentially. Next up is Sagittarius. And, you know, in the opposite to Scorpio, Sagittarius can often be the most loved sign of the zodiac. And I can see why. Sagittarians are fire energy and they're mutable energy. So Sagittarians love adventure. They just want to have fun. They're probably going to be the last one standing on the dance floor at the party. But their energy is very much about shooting an arrow into the world of possibilities and seeing where it lands and following that. They love, love, love to travel. They love adventures, and anything that keeps them in that energy is going to fuel their spirit. But the shadow side of Sagittarius is that they are these very much know-it-alls. They think they know everything. They think that, you know, they are the center, and even if they don't know something, they will pretend and act like they do. So I think this is a quite a funny quality of Sagittarius when you see it unfold in someone's personality. Then we move on to Capricorn. Now, Capricorn, in our cycle of life, we're kind of getting to this stage of the person that has grown up and they've stepped out onto their career path. So Capricorn energy is, it's the mythical sea goat. So the goat wants to climb to the top of the mountain, but it's also able to swim to the depths of the ocean. It's very determined. It wants to reach goals. It wants to work hard to get there. Capricorn understands the energy of discipline, having structure, having good boundaries to accomplish an outcome. So it's really interesting because it's actually a feminine sign. This energy sounds very masculine. It can often be linked to like the hardworking career person or the businessman, but it's actually a feminine sign. So that's a really beautiful quality of Capricorn. Next up is Aquarius, and Aquariuses are very interesting. Aquarius is an air sign, and it's very intellectual. It's very futuristic. A lot of inventors have Aquarius placements. Einstein has a lot of Aquarius placements. They're interested in the future. They're interested in things that other people might not necessarily be. Like, they would be curious to go on a rabbit hole and, look at aliens and talk about UFOs and that type of thing. They can be very individual and rebellious, and they want to serve the collective. So they're often activists or advocates and will speak out for a collective to support humanity. But oftentimes I say they love humanity, but they hate the humans. Yeah, they can often be quite weirdos as well. I have an Aquarius moon, so, I feel like I can say this piece. Finally, we have Pisces, which is the last sign of the zodiac, and it's almost very relative to this cycle of life. If we sort of at the end of our life, we're not so much concerned with the material world. We're starting to become interested in what is out there. All these things that can't be seen and can't be touched, the things that aren't so tangible. So Pisceans are very creative. They're connected to art, music. They're very spiritual. They have a deep connection to intuition, and they love mystery. They love romance. And another thing about Pisces is they want to escape. So this can be like a good quality, but might also be a shade quality as well, wanting to escape all the time and maybe even being a little bit delusional. So They're the 12 signs of the zodiac. How did that all land for you?
That's a lot of information, but I liked how you explained it so simply, and you gave an analogy so that we could remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
For example, the Scorpio, you know, how they sting, and I've known some Scorpions who that reminds me of, like, ooh, watch out for her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Astrology is a very deep and complex level. You know, it's a language that you need to learn. And, you know, while we're segmenting down the signs, we can also incorporate all the planets and all the houses and the different relationships they have with one another. And this is why we just have just such endless personality types in the world, because they're all the planets are making up a part of our personality and interacting in a different way.
Yes. And can you tell us what that means? Because we have several signs in our birth chart. For example, I have a friend who recently says, oh, I don't believe in any of that. It applies to everybody. You know, when you read in the newspaper and you go online and read your daily horoscope. And I said, no, it's much bigger than that.
Yeah. So often when we're looking at horoscopes, we're looking at pop astrology. And this is really just the sun sign that we're looking at. But in actual fact, our chart has every single sign within it, and it has every single planet. So the star sign that we know is where the placement of our sun is. What sign was our sun in? And for example, you're an Aries, I'm a Leo, but I said I have a moon placement. My moon is in Aquarius. This is the opposite of Leo. We also have Mercury, we have Venus, Mars. Every single planet was in a certain place in your chart, and this represents a different part of your personality. So I often say, if people don't resonate with their sun sign or it doesn't feel like it applies to them, a lot of the time horoscopes are written from the perspective of the rising sign or the ascendant placement. If you know your rising sign, it's great to be reading your star sign for your rising sign as well. But the other thing that could happen is your sun sign might be in an opposing energy with some other signs in your chart, and this is why you don't particularly relate. I've also had readings with people, and I had one woman and she just said, I don't connect with any of this Aries energy, and I just couldn't really see why in her chart. And so I just said to her, can you tell me a little bit, do you know anything about your birth story? And she said, yeah, well, I was born a couple of weeks early. I was meant to be born 2 weeks later. Well, sure enough, if we fast forward the chart 2 weeks, she would have been a Taurus. And I started telling her and explaining these energies, and she's like, this sounds a lot more like me. So I thought that was really interesting to understand, you know, how people's birth stories as well and how that can play into it.
That is interesting. But also the moon plays a big part too, doesn't it? Well, all of them do, but.
Yeah, they all play a big part, but we can look at the big three energies. So the rising sign I have sort of mentioned, this is not a planet. This is the point on the eastern horizon, and it's the point that was rising the minute that you took your first breath. So if I was born in the afternoon, the sun would have been up overhead somewhere, but there was a sign that was rising up on the eastern horizon. This is said to represent the energies that we rise with, the gifts we come into the world with, how other people see us, and, you know, how we show up in the world. So this is a significant energy. Then we have our sun sign, which is who we've come here to be, who we truly are inside, deeply inside. It's our true spirit, I like to say. And then our moon sign is a representative of our inner world, kind of the relationship that we have with ourselves, the way we talk to ourselves in our mind, and the way we manage and deal with emotions. This is our moon sign, and this is how that plays out. If we were to meet someone for the first time, the characteristics that we would see initially would be the rising sign characteristics. If we get to know them a little bit more and they become our friend, then we can see the characteristics of their sun sign. And only if we know them very deeply, whether that's your significant other or a child or your mother, that's when they would see the moon sign in you, because they see that those inner workings of your mind. And often children will show up as moon sign as well, because they don't really have this ability to regulate their emotions until the age of about 7. And so this is how they show up. They show up as their moon sign.
The rising sign, from what I understand, is what the outside world sees when they meet you.
Absolutely.
You know, this is how I see you, your rising sign, and you see me as my rising sign. And then as we get to know each other, it's like, oh, now I can see all these other signs coming up.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, sometimes the rising sign can be the same as the sun sign. Sometimes it can have a good relationship with the sun sign, which means that you will show those personalities. You know, there's these types of people that, you know, we see them straight up. You know, they wear their heart on their sleeve and they are who they are. Your first impressions of that person are the same, no matter how much you get to know them. And then there's other people that we meet and we see their initial expression of their energy. But if we do get to know them a little bit deeper, we think, wow, there's so much about you that I didn't really know. And there's a lot there that I didn't really see. And this might be because their sun sign is opposite from their rising sign. So, you know, there's an entry that we have to go through, and then we get to see the deeper side of their personality.
You said that you do astrological readings. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your readings. What do you do for people?
Yeah. So essentially what I do is I take someone's birth date, the time that they were born and the place that they were born, and we put it into a calculator that brings out a chart. And this is the essentially someone's natal chart. It's the minute that the person took their first breath. And if we think about time, it's like a snapshot of time when you came into the world, a map of where the stars and the planets and points were in the sky. We can see where all the planets were and in what signs they were located. And from this, we can then read the energies of your astrological chart. I like to describe it like a stage play analogy. We have planets in our chart, planets and luminaries. The luminaries is just a fancy name for the sun and the moon. These are like the characters in a play, essentially. So in our personality, we have lots of different characters, say a mother, a friend, a colleague. We play out all these different characters in our life. Then we have the signs, and the signs I like to call the costumes of these characters in our stage play. So it really gives them a bit of flavor. So maybe their personality might be outgoing with an outrageous costume, or it might be a bit more reserved or held back or shy, defensive. How do they flavor their personality? And then finally, we have the houses, and the houses represent the different stages, or maybe even the different scenes we call it in the stage play. And this is the different areas of our life that those energies are strong. So this could be relationships, health, our career, our friendships, and so on. On the map, the planet, and in the sky, actually, the planets will make different angles to one another. If two planets are sitting together, their energies essentially merge. So this, it shows up in the chart as well. So then this becomes like, how do the characters in the stage play get along with one another? And this is all expressed in the natal chart and then in your personality as well. Essentially, I like to call it a mirror. As above, so below. What happens out there is an energy that mirrors down here on Earth.
Have you been wanting to ride your broom like you stole it, rather than hiding in the shadows? Theodora Pendragon is here to help your magic shine, whether you want to show the world your subtle sparkle or you really want to light your fire. Visit Theodora's online store at witchcasting.shop. That's witchcasting.shop. Remember, there's never been a better time to be a witch.
You've explained the birth chart and what that means. How can we predict what's going to happen? Because that's also in our birth chart.
Yeah, great question. So I've explained a birth chart, which, as I mentioned, is a snapshot of the moment in time, the minute that we took our first breath. But we also have the chart of today, or the chart of tomorrow, or the chart of 5 years ago or 5 years' time. So what we can do is we can get our personal natal chart and we can layer over the chart of today, and then we can see what is happening. Where are the planets moving in my chart at the moment? Are they asking me to bring attention to my career? Is health an important area of my life? You know, because the planets have different archetypes, we can see what they're bringing to what area of our life. So just as an example, Saturn. Saturn is the planet that wants to teach us lessons. It likes to constrict, okay? People don't necessarily like constricting energy, but, you know, this can be really valuable if we need to hone in on a particular area of our life. So currently Saturn is moving through Pisces. Now, if this is in the area of your chart that has to do with relationships, maybe there's a constriction that needs to happen in this area of your life so that you can ultimately learn a lesson for yourself and, you know, and be able to move forward and evolve. You know, if Saturn is moving through your 10th house, which is to do with your career, maybe it's asking you, like, do you really want to work in this industry? Is this what you really want to do? What do we need to take out here so that you can really have the best life for yourself, essentially. So we can look to what the planets represent and where they are in your chart at the moment. And are they interacting with any of your natal planets in your birth chart? Because that has a big impact as well. So that's how we can look at forecasting in astrology.
Is that what kind of readings you usually do for people? Forecasting?
I always like to tell people to start with a natal chart, because if you don't understand your natal chart energy and the basics of astrology and how it works, it's going to be difficult for you to understand a forecast reading. It's just going to be a little bit of a complex learning curve, I suppose. So initially I start people with a natal chart reading, but if you've already had one of those, a forecast reading to get an understanding of the next 3 months, or I'm currently offering some 2024 readings and reports. So that sort of gives an overview of the whole year. And so there's many different ways that we can work with astrology, but the natal chart and the forecasting are some of the readings that I offer at the moment.
Would you say that most people are most interested in forecasting?
Yeah, I think, you know, depending on where people come in at, if they have a good understanding of astrology, a lot of people do want to know. They want to know, like, what is my year going to look like? What is, you know, and so sometimes when I do an initial natal chart, if someone's never, you know, had an astrology reading before, I will do that initial chart, but then, like, I'll throw in some bits and pieces. You know, this is what this is the area of your life that's expanding this year. This is the area of your life that's constricting. You know, this might be a challenging time, or, you know, just pay attention to this month because things could be happening in your relationships or something like that. So people are always curious about what's happening in the future.
How can you use astrology to connect deeper to yourself?
Great question. So one thing that I always say is that we need to use our intuition first. So astrology comes after our intuition. Intuition is about connecting with our inner knowing. And I can say all the things in the world and interpret the chart, but if it doesn't resonate for you, if it doesn't land, then it's not a message for you. My interpretation isn't aligning with your intuition. But we can really use astrology to really deeply understand why we are a certain way. And this is what I have learned so much about myself. When I understood my natal chart, I realized, oh, this is why this area of my life has always been challenging, or this is why I feel like I've always had success and this area of my life has had a lot of flow and ease in it. And then, you know, with those parts of our lives that are challenging, we can even look to the chart to see, well, you know, if this is challenging, can you show me like how I can work with this energy? And I often find that you can see that in the chart as well. The other thing is, you know, with the forecasting, if we know what's coming, we can also be prepared. If we know that it's a time of the year where the energy is reversed, if there's a lot of planets retrograde, maybe this is going to be a good time to slow down. So I'm not going to schedule a big launch or a party, or I'm not going to try and do all these things that are outwardly expressing when the energy itself is more internally focused. So this is how we can use it in the forecasting scenario.
So we can practically apply this to our day-to-day life.
Absolutely. I think if you have an understanding of astrology, when we're looking at the day-to-day, we can look at the moon, because the moon is the fastest moving luminary. It changes signs every 3 days. So we can see, like, where is the moon in my chart? And also, what phase is the moon in? Are we in a new moon, a new sort of beginning? Are we in a full moon where it's the full expression? Are we in a waning moon where we are needing to slow down and pull our energy back and turn it inwards a little bit more? So, you know, we can definitely use it on a day-to-day basis.
Do you offer your readings virtually, or are they mostly in person?
Yeah, so I do readings in a variety of different ways. I work in person when I can. I do readings via online, so with a video, and I can show you your chart. If you don't have the time to show up live, I do audio recordings where I get all your details and I'll read your chart in an audio recording and I send it to you that way. And then sometimes I do reports as well. I'm also teaching more and more about astrology. And so, you know, I run courses and webinars and this type of thing. So the readings are, you know, this is what people love because they want to find out more about themselves.
You offer courses. Tell us what we can expect if we take a course from you.
Yeah. So at the moment, I'm currently developing a course that is going to be launching very soon, perhaps even by the time this episode has gone live. You can really learn about all of these things that I've been talking about on a deeper level and learn how to apply it for yourself so that you don't have to go onto a website and read all it says. Once you learn about the signs and the planets and the way that astrology works, you can learn to read your own chart and, you know, pull that up every day. Or if something has gone on, it's like, well, what's happening today to cause this? Or not to cause, I shouldn't say cause, but what is this energy that is mirroring back to me? And why am I feeling this way? And it's not that we like to blame the planets or anything like that, but it's just very nice to be able to say, okay, I can see what's happened here and why maybe I had this argument with my friend, for example. The energy, you know, is supporting that maybe I would have an argument with my friend today. And, you know, it can really help us to even like loosen our grip a little bit on that. So in my courses and the webinars that I run, I really teach you how to read the chart for yourself and apply the concepts so that you can do it for yourself.
How long is your course?
Well, I am building it out at the moment. It's going to be about 9 weeks, I believe. So I have ran different things in the past. I've ran mentorship, which is something that I will likely open up again when the time is there. So that can be, you know, in the mentorship, we worked on someone's personal chart, but I also taught astrology alongside them as well. So the course that I'm building out is looking like it's going to be a 9-week course, so just over 2 months. And occasionally I'll run a couple of hours webinar, depending on what is coming up for me at the time.
How can we find you online? In social media.
Thank you for asking. So I am on Instagram. You can find me at Stars by Abby. I'm also over on TikTok and Facebook under the same name. And I have a podcast of my own as well. It's called Secrets of the Stars, Exploring Astrology with Abby. And you can go and listen in there and you can learn about all these concepts. I talk about them on my podcast. And if you're after, you know, a reading or want to deep dive into your chart, you can go to my website, which is abbylutis.com, and you can find a spot and book an appointment and we can do a reading for you as well.
That sounds fabulous.
It's really fun.
I'll put all your information in the episode notes so that people can find you. So you are pretty much, your handle is Stars by Abby on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube.
Yeah, Stars by Abby, and my podcast is Secrets of the Stars. So you can find me there, and my website is just my name, Abby Lutis.
Secrets of the Stars. Tell us about your podcast and what you do on there.
So I have recently just launched this podcast. I think I'm 12 episodes in. So, you know, I'm going on this journey teaching people about different concepts of astrology. If you love listening to podcasts, and if you love astrology, you're probably going to enjoy mine. So not only do I look at, you know, every month I'll do a bit of a forecast for the upcoming energy of that month, but I will also teach you, you know, let's have a look. My most recent episodes are all around the astrology of 2024, but you know, I'll have a look at the history, or I'll talk about the tropical zodiac or the different types of astrology. There's so much to learn in astrology. It's almost like an endless topic. So yeah, I've started making headway into some of those topics on my podcast.
That sounds very interesting. I haven't heard of it, but I will start listening because I find astrology very fascinating.
Yeah, well, it is just new. I only started it in October. can go on a deep dive. There is just so much to learn.
And you probably never stop learning.
I think this is one of the reasons why I love astrology. As I said, I have Scorpio placements in my chart. Scorpio likes to go deep and, you know, explore everything. And I also have an Aquarius moon, which is Aquarius is kind of the sign of astrology. So the moon being my inner world, when I go on a deep dive in astrology, it really makes me feel satisfied emotionally. And it's just something that I love so much.
I can tell that you love it.
Yeah, you're very passionate about it. You probably get my expression.
Oh, yes. Yes. I can feel it.
Yeah. It's so great. And I think like once I've stepped into really learning it and understanding it and applying it, that's when I really felt the magic unfold, because it really does light me up. And even as I was talking about my role as a tour guide, when I go out and get to sleep under the stars every night, that is just incredible. The amazing things that you see in the sky is just like, you would not believe what you see in the sky. It is really a beautiful aspect of nature that I think we may be starting to lose a little bit of connection with.
Is there anything that you would like to tell the listeners before we finish today?
I just think that, you know, astrology is such a fascinating topic. If you have the slightest inkling to learn more, you know, open your mind to what you might learn, because I'm a Capricorn risings, and Capricorns can be very skeptical. So for me to be practicing astrology, it's, you know, I don't want to say ironic, but, you know, I was very skeptical when I first entered this space. I was like, how does this really work? Is this really true? But the more that I learned, the more I realized that this really, you know, the energies from the universe are mirroring us down here on Earth. So with that, even that slightest curiosity and inkling and open mind, you will explore and learn and understand so much about yourself. It's really a fascinating topic.
And I think it's important for us to really learn about ourselves. It explains the why.
Absolutely. I always say to people, astrology helps you understand why you are the way you are. And, you know, once you unlock that, it almost gives you permission just to actually own those unique parts of your personality and step into that person that you truly are. And the more we know about that, the more we can own that and step into that. And that's where we have power.
Thank you so much, Abby, for explaining all this to us today. And hopefully people will decide to take a course with you.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me, Theodora. It's been really fun chatting with you. As I said, if you're interested in what I have to offer, my readings, or coming and learning a bit more astrology with me, come on over, find me, send me a DM, let's chat, let's have a conversation, let's do a reading. I look forward to meeting you all.
Thank you so much, Abby, for being my special guest today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Theodora.
Thank you for joining us for Witchcasting with Theodora Pendragon. Have a burning question or have a topic you'd love Theodora and her guests to discuss on the show? Contact her through Instagram at Theodora Pendragon. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And help us spread the word by leaving us a rating and review and sharing it with your friends. See you next time, and may your magic always shine.